Today on St. Patrick's Day, I would like to talk to you about the real Patrick. I want to think about this man, who he was, what he believed, the enormous contribution that he made to life in Ireland, and indeed much further afield. Today, the 17th of March, is celebrated, not just in Ireland, but across the world, as St. Patrick's Day. It is a day of carnivals, drunkenness, and for celebrating Irishness. Of course, with the current restrictions in place, people are unable to celebrate St. Patrick's Day as they would normally do. But what is really interesting is this: although Ireland is a small country, the name of Patrick has travelled far as a result of the millions of people who have left this island to make their home across the seas, whether that is in Great Britain, America, Australia, or New Zealand. It has become strange and almost amusing that more people celebrate St. Patrick's Day outside of Ireland than those who celebrate it within Ireland. But as we think about St. Patrick's Day, and as we think about how people talk about this man and use this man's name at this time, it strikes me that very few people are fully aware of the man himself. The man that has left his mark upon this island. Who was the man? What did he believe? What did he teach? What was his influence? Now, he is known as Saint Patrick. And yet, I do accept that he was a saint. But it is my conviction whenever I read the scriptures that all Christians are saints, not just a select body of people. Therefore, I do not believe that we need to pray to Saint Patrick or to any of the other saints. Indeed, it is wrong to pray to them, because there is one person that we pray to, and that is God, and we come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't need the mediation of another, like Patrick, or even like Mary, because the Bible says there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. I do not believe that there are patron saints who stand as guardians over an entire island, over an entire nation of people. In many ways, the whole idea of patron saints is a throwback to the old Roman Empire, where everyone had their own unique god. The sailors had a god, the farmer had a god, the soldiers had a god, and these pagan gods, these pagan idols, were in time replaced by Christian saints. And Patrick, unfortunately, takes on a kind of a godlike status, and we must try and avoid that. So what I want to do is get below the surface. Try and find out who the real Patrick was. What was he? What did he believe? Now, it's not easy to discover this kind of thing, because we're going back to the 4th and the 5th century of human history, AD. Not many pieces of literature have survived the ravages of the years. Some historians have claimed there were 3 Patricks. Some have intimated there were 7 Christian men known by this man and known by this name. And so it all becomes very confusing. And that may also explain why there is confusion over his burial. Because in Ireland we say that he is buried at Downpatrick, whereas there are some who say that he was buried at Glastonbury in the ancient ruins there in southwest England. But there appears to be historical evidence that there was one man by the name of Patrick, and there may have been others, but there was one man who had a notable influence upon this island. And it is this one man that we want to find out about and discover. The most ancient witness to the life of Patrick is found in a very old book known as the Book of Armagh. And this volume is dated right back to the 9th century, making it 1,100 years old. What is of special interest in this old manuscript is that the scribe claimed that he copied St. Patrick's confession from his own hand. The scribe copied the actual handwriting of Patrick. So Patrick was a man of literature, a man who could write, an educated man, a man who passed on his theology and his doctrines and writing. That's really important. So from his confession, we can discover what he believed. Now, in the Book of Armagh, we also have a letter that he wrote to a Welsh prince that was persecuting Christians, and Patrick was writing on behalf of Christians in Wales, so he had an interest in Christianity generally, not just in Ireland, but in places that were further afield. Now, Patrick belongs to a Christian tradition that We should not call Roman Catholic or Protestant. He didn't accept the authority, for example, of the Bishop of Rome. We know that because he never mentioned the Bishop of Rome in his writings. He belonged to a tradition that was known as the Celtic Church, sometimes known as the Scottish-Irish Church, a church that straddled the Irish Sea, that took in both Ireland and Scotland and also the northeast of England as well, the area that we today know call Northumbria. And this Christian tradition of which Patrick was a part has left its mark upon our society. We go to the ancient ruins at White Island and Lough Erne. We go to the ruins at Devonish. We can travel across to Iona and see the ruins of the old settlement that was established there by Columba. There is abundant evidence, and one of the greatest evidences of the culture and the learning and the sophistication of this church is the Book of Kells, the fantastically crafted pages written out by the scribes as they sought to preserve in a most dignified way the Word of God. Is it any wonder that Ireland in those days led the way in terms of learning, in terms of education, in terms of scholarship? In the whole of Europe, Ireland was known as the land of saints and scholars, and the success of that old civilization is all around us. And it was a most tragic and calamitous thing that that civilization, that culture, had slowly ebbed away as a result of outside influences. But that story is for another day. This is St. Patrick's Day, and I would like us to think about Patrick and his gospel. Now, you've heard of the gospel according to Matthew, to Mark, to Luke, to John. What about the gospel according to Patrick? The gospel according to Patrick really is no different from the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We want to think about the good news, because the word gospel means good news. The good news that this man who was a missionary, he presented to this island from north to south. What can we say about the gospel according to Patrick? It was a scriptural gospel. Patrick's gospel was based entirely upon the Word of God. That church of which he was a part, of which he was a leader and a pioneer, was a biblical movement, sought to preserve God's Word, sought to preach God's Word. Our church here in the Clocker Valley is situated on the main road that runs from Belfast to Enniskillen. And just 2 or 3 miles on the Clocker side of our church building, there's a place called Plintonmore. It's a townland. And it is said that for 3 days, St. Patrick came to Plintonmore and he preached the gospel, and the people flocked to hear him speak. It is one of the reasons why there are so many places across Ireland that have been said to have been named by Patrick. The town where I come from, the town of Coleraine, was said to be given its name by Patrick, a Latin name, Coleraine, the place among the ferns. And the church there, the Church of Ireland Church, is known as St. Patrick's Church to this day. St. Patrick left his mark all over Ireland because he travelled Ireland preaching the Word of God, presenting the Word of God. In the Book of Armagh, we have a very early biography of Patrick. Not an autobiography, but it's a biography. We should always treat biographies with great care, because sometimes the truth is hidden, it's obscured, it's embellished, or there's something added to it. But nevertheless, ancient biographies are of interest. And then the biography of Patrick in the Book of Armagh, his encounter with the King of Meath in the city of Tara is described. And the King of Meath was a pagan king. He was greatly enraged when at Easter time St. Patrick lit a fire, and the king believed that his fire should be the only fire to be lit, and St. Patrick was lighting a fire because Christ had come as the light of the world. But the King of Meath was commemorating this season in a pagan way, and he was enraged, and he entered into a debate, a discussion with Patrick. And here was Patrick, this lone missionary, standing up against the pagan king, presenting the gospel to this pagan king. And as he discussed Christianity with this pagan king, as he debated with this pagan king, He continually quoted from Scripture. For example, he is said to have quoted from the Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And he is said to quote from Psalm 68, verse 1. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. It is evident that Patrick taught the word of God. He did not belong to that generation that believed in hiding the word of God from the people, because the people couldn't be trusted with the scripture. That happened within the church at a later time, not in these days of early Christianity here in Ireland. The word of God was made available to the people. And it is so today. The church must present the word. I exhort you to read the word of God, because the word of God is light, and it is life, and it reveals to us Jesus Christ, who is the only hope of the world. St. Patrick's gospel was scriptural. It was also Christ-centered. As Patrick preached, he preached Christ. We know this from his confession. For example, in his confession we read these words: God the Father, unbegotten, without beginning, upholding all things. Jesus Christ, in an ineffable manner, begotten before all beginning, and by him were made things visible and invisible. Being made man and having overcome death, he was received into heaven unto the Father. The Father hath given unto him all power above every name, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, with every tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, whom we believe and look for his coming, who is soon about to be the judge of quick and dead, who will render unto every man according to his works, and hath poured into us abundantly the gift of the Holy Ghost, whom we confess and worship, one God in the Trinity of his sacred name. He obviously believes in the Trinity. He believed Jesus Christ was God, an ancient legend, and it may be a legend, that he stood before one of the kings of Ireland and presented the shamrock, and from the three-leaved clover he taught the three in one: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, as one God. But central to his ministry, central to the church's ministry to be today, has to be Christ, who died, who rose again, who is the judge. He died for you, he rose again for you. In this world of death, in this world of suffering, and haven't we seen so much suffering, there is hope, because Jesus Christ lives. And one day we'll stand before him, and we will give an account, and we will all give an account. And that's why it's so important that we know the cleansing of Christ's precious blood, that we step into the victory of that resurrection, that we put our faith in him alone. This was Patrick's gospel. You see, at the heart of God's plan for this world is Jesus Christ. You cannot understand the world, you cannot have hope for the future, without faith in Jesus Christ alone. You see, having hope isn't about what church you belong to, anything like that. It's about knowing Christ. And do you know Christ today? In the Book of Armagh is a hymn, one of the oldest relics of the ancient Christian church here in Ireland. It is claimed that Patrick was the composer. If he wasn't the composer, well, it was certainly written by someone who was close to Patrick. But it certainly echoes Patrick's theology. The words are powerful. Listen to them. I bind myself to thee today, the power of God to guide me, the might of God to uphold me, the wisdom of God to teach me, the eye of God to watch over me, the ear of God to hear me, the word of God to give me speech, the hand of God to protect me, the way of God to go before me, the shield of God to shelter me, the host of God to defend me, against the snares of demons, against the temptations of devils, against the lusts of nature, against every man who meditates injury to me, whether far or near, whether few or many, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right, Christ at my left. Here is a man who believed that God was with him as he went this lone missionary into a pagan Ireland steeped in witchcraft, steeped in the corrupting religion of the Druids, with all of their teachings about sacrifices and one thing and another. He came, Christ at my right hand, Christ at my left, Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ around me, Christ with me. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's why the Christian today can have great hope in this world of death, because Christ never leaves us nor forsakes us. What a comfort. Is that your comfort today? Patrick's gospel was scriptural, it was Christ-centered. But it was also a gospel that believed in the necessity of the new birth. Patrick was an evangelical. He was a bearer of the good news. That's what the evangelical is. His life was based upon the conviction that men and women's lives can be converted, supernaturally transformed by the power of the gospel. At the age of 16, he was captured by bandits in Scotland, forced to work as a slave in the Flemish area of County Antrim. That was his first knowledge of Ireland as far as we are concerned. That must have been very hard for him. A 16-year-old boy, whipped away from his family life, forced to work as a slave. But he said concerning that harsh experience, "I knew not the true God, and I was carried in captivity into Ireland, and there the Lord opened the sense of my unbelief, and though late, I should remember my sins and be converted with my whole heart unto the Lord my God." He was converted. He believed in conversion. That difficult experience caused him to look to God. Perhaps you're going through a difficult experience today. Sickness, bereavement, trouble. Maybe your income has been suffering. You need to look away from the things of this world. Perhaps your troubles is like a lesson to you. There's no hope in this world. There's no real comfort in this world. Whatever you have in this world can quickly be taken away, but whatever you have in the world to come, you cannot lose. And therefore, you need to be converted that you might have hope. And I would appeal to you to do that today. Patrick, he said, concerning his ministry, many people through his means being born again and clergy being ordained. He was so gratified people were born again. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. You see, Patrick's gospel is Christ's gospel. It's the gospel of the Bible. Jesus said to Nicodemus all of those years ago, "You must be born again." How can you know that you are born again? How can you be born again? You need to put your faith in Christ alone. Ask the Lord to save you. You need to turn from your sin. There needs to be a time in your experience, a place in your life where you come as a sinner to Jesus. That's Patrick's gospel, but it's not just his gospel. It's the gospel that the Word of God presents. And it's a gospel of hope that is as relevant for 21st century Ireland as much as it was relevant for 5th century Ireland. For though times have changed, people's hearts are still full of sin. And people today need the Lord. You need the Lord. Is he your Saviour today? I trust that on Patrick's Day you will reflect upon the man, his mission, his ministry. The man whose name is remembered today by many who sadly know little about him. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.